Grace and peace are yours from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. The text of our sermon this morning is a gospel lesson from John 15. Jesus is speaking. He says, "As the Father has loved me, so have I loved you. Now remain in my love. If you keep my commands, you will remain in my love, just as I've kept my Father's commands and remain in his love. I told you this so that my joy may be in you and that your joy may be complete. My command is this: love each other as I have loved you. Greater love has no one than this, to lay down one's life for one's friends. You are my friends if you do what I command. I no longer call you servants because a servant does not know his master's business. Instead, I've called you friends. For everything that I learned from my Father, I have made known to you. You did not choose me, but I chose you and appointed you so that you might go and bear fruit, fruit that will last. And so that whatever you ask in my name, the Father will give you. This is my command: love each other." This is the gospel of our Lord. In his life and ministry, there were times when Jesus did like to be alone. The scriptures tell us how Jesus would go to a solitary place where he could be by himself in prayer. But it's also very evident that Jesus loved to be with his disciples. He had a strong desire to spend time with his disciples. He loved to go to their homes. He loved to get onto their boats. He loved to walk along the road with them and find a nice grassy hillside and sit down and be with his disciples. He wasn't just hanging out, shooting the breeze. Jesus was teaching them. He was teaching them about himself, revealing himself as the Messiah. Jesus was often correcting them because these sinful disciples got the wrong ideas about so many things. He was comforting them. He was encouraging them. He was equipping them. Jesus loved spending time with his disciples. It's so clear. And they liked it too. They loved being around the Lord, and who wouldn't? Who wouldn't want to be with Jesus and witness all of the miracles that he performed and listen to his teaching with authority that people recognize, even his enemies recognize his authority? Who wouldn't want that? One time, after Jesus had fed 5,000 people, and the crowd started out huge and they began to go away because they did not like his teaching, Jesus asked his disciples, "Do you want to leave too?" And Peter responded for all of them. He said, "Lord, you have the words of eternal life. Where should we go?" They loved being around Jesus. It was true even the night before Jesus died. John 15 is part of Jesus' last time of instruction with his disciples. They're alone with the Savior the night before he died, and he wanted to be there. He wanted to spend time with his disciples. That was his desire. We see the heart of our Lord. It's still true today. Jesus' desire is to be with his people. On a Sunday that we've set aside to rededicate this place of worship to the Lord, it's Jesus' desire to be with us here today. We know that when we come to church, even if we've been away for a while and get back, we know this is where Jesus wants us to be. And we know what to expect when we come. We expect our Savior to reveal his love to us in very clear terms, very concrete ways. We expect Jesus to give us assurance and comfort and encouragement, just like he gave his first disciples. Jesus' desire is to be with his people, to show us his love, and then equip us to love others. The night before he died, Jesus is with his disciples, and it's not just an ordinary night, it's the Passover. The Passover was the Old Testament worship life for the people, where they remembered God delivering them from bondage in Egypt. They celebrated that Passover annually for about 1,500 years. And at the center of that Passover celebration was the lamb, the year-old lamb that had no blemishes or defect. the lamb that was slaughtered and the blood that was put on the door, and the angel of death passed over. And like the rest of Old Testament sacrifice and worship, it's a picture of Jesus. And so the night before he died, the Lamb of God who takes away the sin of the world was with his disciples in this upper room eating the very meal that pointed to him. They got into that room in John 13 and they sat down around a table reclining, and suddenly Jesus stood up. He took off his coat, he wrapped a towel around his waist, and he began to wash the disciples' feet, setting them an example of loving service. The instruction continued that night. In John 14, Jesus described for his disciples his Father's house that had many rooms, and he was going to prepare their place. And when they were confused and uncertain, Jesus said, "I'm the way, truth, and the life." Jesus pictured their relationship to him. He was the vine, and they're the branches. And then you get to John 15. In these verses of our text this morning, and Jesus speaks so clearly to them about his love. Jesus' desire, on the night when he's thinking about his own death, when he's pondering the weight of the sin of the world that would be put upon him, his desire was to speak to his disciples about his love for them. Listen again to how he describes it in some of these verses. Jesus says, "As the Father has loved me, so have I loved you. I've told you this so that my joy may be in you and your joy may be complete. Greater love has no one than this, that he laid down his life for his friends. You did not choose me, but I chose you." As we hear these words from our Savior, they're all about his love for us, pictured in slightly different ways. Everything the Father made known to the Son revealed to those disciples and to us. Not about the mysteries of this created world, not about the magnitude of this universe, about the one thing that really matters for us, the way we get to heaven, forgiveness of our sins. Jesus loved telling the disciples about his love for them and his work for them. "Everything the Father's made known to me, I've revealed to you. I don't call you my servants because servants don't know the master's business. I've called you my friends, and in order to make you my friends, I've laid down my life for you, to give you this relationship with one another and with the Heavenly Father. You didn't have to seek out that love. You didn't have to find it. Jesus says, I chose you, and I've appointed you to bear fruit." Over and over, Jesus describes his love to his disciples, and it's more than just words. We know that action followed those words. Action the next day when Jesus willingly went up to the cross and shed his blood to atone for the sins of the whole world, each of our sins. Every time we gather in the house of the Lord, whether it's in person or it's online, it's where Jesus wants us to be, and he wants to reveal his love to us. Everything about a Christian worship service focuses on that love of God. The sanctuary is a place where that love is proclaimed, even without words. When you walk into this church, it's very obvious what the focus of worship is. This morning as I got to church and I turned the lights on and I went back outside and I looked in the door, it's dark outside, but you can see clearly from the light in the sanctuary, the herringbone floor that comes up to the front. You can't help but have your eyes trail ahead and see the baptismal font. Right? The very place that God adopted us into his family. The place where he assured us our sins were washed away and gave us the pledge of eternal life. And you pass it and you go up to the altar, place of sacrifice, Christ for us, where he shed his blood, and the cross in the hands of our ascended Savior and blessing on his people. You don't have to say anything. You can let those words or those pictures speak loudly, louder than words sometimes. What does Jesus want to tell us? That we're his children. He took our sins away, and one day we'll join him in heaven. It's a powerful sermon on Jesus' love. What he told his first disciples and what he tells us still today. And what a joy to have it so clear and so plain before our eyes. Jesus loves to be with us. Show us how much he loves us. We've been back in this sanctuary for about 3 months. We had canceled service for a while in July and started up in August and been in here since the first Sunday in August. And during that time, there's been some things that have been noticeably absent. Yes, people. People are still online, and that's going to continue for a while. But what's been noticeably absent has been phrases like this. Why did you do that? Or, you should have done this. In reference to this refresh. Nobody has said, at least to me, or asked me why we did something. Or said, well, you should have done this. Nobody said that at all. It's been utterly amazing. And I think there's some reasons for that. When you do a remodeling project and nobody's around, it's really easy to get it done. But when we get together again around the Word of God, we come in here into God's house, whether it's in person or online, having been away for a while, puts things in perspective. Makes us realize what Jesus wants when we come here. He wants to tell us about his love. He wants to speak to our hearts with that message of peace. And when he does that, those other things kind of go away. They're just not that important. It's obvious God has blessed us with a beautiful whole place to worship him. By God's grace, we get to do it. We get to be here, being fed by our Savior's love and being equipped to show that love. Because that's just as clear in these verses when Jesus spoke to his disciples. It was all about his love, and he went right into what that meant for them. That they would be bearing fruit. That they would be showing love just as he loved them. Jesus wants to show us that love, so we're ready. We're ready to show it out in the world, in our families, in our workplaces, with anybody we come into contact with. That's what Jesus wants for us. And listen again to what he says. Remain in my love. He says, love as I have loved you. Do what I command. Bear fruit. Love each other. You must love each other. Those are commands of our Savior. But those are commands that follow immediately on the heels of Jesus showing us his love and telling us about his love. And what else would you expect from people whose eternities have been changed because of Christ's love? That's going to be evidenced in our life. It's just natural. Jesus is the vine and we are the branches. We're going to produce that love. But there are some other things we produce as well. Just like it's natural for us to show Jesus' love in our life, it's also sadly natural for us to show love for ourselves. That sinful nature that still clings to us also is good at producing things, but they're not fruits of faith. They're demonstrations of our selfishness. We like to be around Jesus when it's convenient for us. We like to show love when people are lovable and easy. We like to bear fruit when it brings glory to us. Those are not God-pleasing fruits of faith. That's not the kind of love that Jesus produces in us. Those are demonstrations of our sinfulness that we still struggle with. In the congregation I served previous to this one, the sanctuary was, the seating was kind of set up the same way, kind of in this round, and the front part of the church was similar, but the seating for the pastors was different. Pastor Sean and I sit in those on those benches, and we faced the congregation. And the other church I served, the benches were on the wall, and the pastors faced each other. And a lot of times we would see and observe things that nobody else did. As we were tucked behind a pulpit or a baptismal font, we could see each other, people could see us. The guy I served with was a friend of mine that I'd known since 1985, went to high school together, and years later we happened to serve together the same congregation. And things would happen sometimes in church and we'd just snicker at each other. And the other guy would be singing the wrong verse of a hymn or mess up a prayer, and you'd sit down and shake your head and we'd just laugh. That would happen pretty easily. There was one time where the other guy was doing a children's message, and in the church there, we had the kids come all the way up front, and they sat right in front of the bench where the pastors were sitting. And my associate was sitting there doing the children's message, all of a sudden this little boy, and I still remember his name, but I'm not going to say it. He grabbed his robe, and he dove under the guy's robe, and so he's trying to do a children's message with a kid underneath his robe. I was laughing, but nobody else saw it. I was just laughing so hard. The things like that happen, right? They happen up here, they happen out there. One of the other blessings of having two pastors is that you can sit out in the congregation, sometimes with your family, right? That's a good thing. Last Sunday, I was sitting with my family during the second service, and something struck me. It struck me how easily it is to be distracted when you're sitting in the congregation. And I wasn't looking at anybody, so don't get nervous if you were here last Sunday. I was thinking about myself. And any parent with a young child says, well, duh, it's very easy to be distracted. But it's just as easy when you don't have any kids anywhere near you. Your mind can start to wander. Well, what's for lunch? Right? What do I have to do later on this afternoon? And I don't think in any way that is deliberate or willful or intentional at all. It just happens. But what really struck me is Jesus never did that. When he was with his disciples, he was never thinking about what do we got to do tomorrow? Although he certainly knew what he had to do tomorrow. He wasn't wondering about what's going to be for dessert after the Passover meal. When Jesus met with his disciples that night in the upper room, his focus was on them, on his love for them. And when we come to church, why would we ever get distracted? When that love is so clear, so obvious, so plain, so personal, how could we ever think about anything else? But that's why we come. Because we know that about ourselves, not just here on Sunday mornings, we know that about ourselves in the world. Because as hard as it is here, when we take this sinful flesh out into the world, it's really obvious. It's really obvious how much we need our Savior. And when we come here, we find Jesus, just where he's always been. Salvation to this world, demonstrating true love for his disciples, even when they were all going to abandon him that night. They were all going to run away from him. And we might say, well, how could they? Part of that was fulfilling scripture, that the shepherd would be struck and the sheep would scatter. There's no scriptural prophecy about us straying away. But Jesus still comes to us. He's still our good shepherd, going after the strays, calling us back, showing us his love, and giving us a beautiful mission in life, to love as he's loved us, to bear fruit, to tell others the praiseworthy deeds of the Lord. This is the glorious work our Savior has given to us. When you finish a building project or a remodeling project, and think back on some of the craziness that goes on during the process. You know, some of you who were around, you know, back in 25 years ago, or maybe 1995 when this church was built, remember that process. It's a hard time for a congregation. It's a glorious time, but it's when you get done, you're like, phew, that's finished. Even in a remodeling project, you know, it's just nice to have it done because going through the process is really hard. We were in a church in Austin. They just finished a building project, and that pastor was so thankful to have it done because it was a very stressful time. And we had the opening service, the air conditioner went out, so he's so stressed all over again. But once it's done, you come in and say, wow, this is nice. This past Wednesday, we had a gentleman on campus who was a member here years ago and then moved up to Good Shepherd in the Woodlands, and he came back on campus and had not been here in a long time, and he walked in the sanctuary. He said, wow, this is great. This is great. It's a great place to be. Listen to the singing this morning hearing the songs of praise from our small group, from our congregation, having the focus on Jesus and his love for us is just fantastic. It's what Jesus wants. He wants to be here with us. He wants to show us his love and equip us to love. And so we go to him in prayer. Just like the Apostle Paul encouraged us in Philippians. When he talked about that joy, rejoicing in the Lord, because Paul knew that joy that Jesus gave him completely, and we have that same joy. One of the things that ways we express that joy is in our prayer life here in church. We pray that God would keep speaking to us with that message of love. We pray that God would use us to be his witnesses in the world. We pray that God would help us to produce fruit. And when we pray in Jesus' name, we have the beautiful promise that he gave at the end of his verses. Whatever we ask, the Father will do it. Jesus is here with us. He wants to be here with us. He wants to listen to our prayers. Our gracious God wants to answer them. On a dedication Sunday, it is an excellent opportunity to think about why we're here and what God gives to us, what we're equipped to do in this world. And also great to remember what God is always doing in our hearts and in our lives, showing us his love and equipping us to love others. As we pray, Lord, help us, we know his answer to us is always the same. Yes, I will do that. Amen.